بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we'll continue reading the work of عبد الله الوادعية حفظها الله تعالى، نصيحة للنساء. Continue reading that which the author she has mentioned, حفظها الله, with regards to آفات اللسان, the ills of the tongue, the diseases of the tongue. We have been reading what the author she has mentioned about الكذب, lying, and that lying is from the most specific traits of the hypocrites, the منافقين. Also, lying is a sign of that trait being inside of an individual. And even though maybe he's not a pure hypocrite, but it's a sign that he has a trait of the hypocrites likewise. And we see that lying leads to the hellfire. And that lying and being dishonest is a major sin. And the author, she has mentioned the evidences that have preceded to clarify these issues. And likewise, she has clarified, حفظها الله تعالى, that lying is not all one level. Rather, some lies are greater than others, although all of them are impermissible, and all of them are haram, and lying in general is a major sin. But lying on Allah Azza wa Jalla is not like lying on an average person. Or lying about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not like lying about an average person. Likewise, lying about the ulama, or lying on the ulama, or lying to the ulama, all of this is even worse and more severe. And she has mentioned the evidences for this as well. And we have discussed some of these topics. Walillahi alhamd. In our previous class, we stopped the author, she has mentioning, من صور الكذب, من صور الكذب, from the forms of lying, from the forms of lying. She mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that if an individual, he said to a child to come here and pretended that they have something in their hand, or they were going to give them something, and then they did not give that thing to them, they are only calling them to come because they want them to come, so they lure them by making them believe that they have something to give them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he considered, he said, fahiya kathba, that this is a lie. That this is a lie. And also we see in another narration as well from the same meaning and understanding from the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhu, that he mentioned that he was with his mother whenever he was a child in the home, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with them, and his mother called him to come. His mother called him to come, and she said, here, I'll give you something. Come, I want to give you something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he questioned her and said, what are you going to give him? So she said, I want to give him some dates. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed her that verily, if you did not give him something, then this would be written against you as a lie. Then this would be written against you as a lie. We've seen this narration in the previous class, and this hadith is found in Sunan Abi Dawood. The author, she mentioned that beautiful point in this light here that we read in the previous class, but we review it for the importance of understanding and the benefit likewise that is found in her statement, حفظها الله تعالى. She says, وَلَكَذِبُ عَلَى الطِّفْلِ يَفْتَحُ بَابَ الشَّرِّ الْمُسْتَطِيرِ, that lying to a child, it opens up a widespread gate of evil. It's the means for opening up a widespread, a gate of evil, for the evil to be widespread. يعني, for the evil to be widespread. She says, فَالطِّفْلُ سَ يَتَعَلَّمُ هَذِهِ الْخَصْلَةِ, because that child will learn this trait. And even in this instance here, that whenever the mother or the guardian pretends to give the child something, and he says to the child to come, pretending that they will give them something, so the child comes with the hopes to receive that which they thought that they're going to get, and then in the end they get nothing. And they find out that their guardian or their mother or their father had lied to them. and that it was not true what they had lured them to. In this manner, that child is learning this trait from the parent, from the guardian, and from the parent. This is what she's saying. فالطفل سيتعلم هذه الخصلة فيكذب في حديثه ويخلف في وعده. So after that, it will grow up, and that child will lie whenever it speaks, and likewise it will go back on its promise. It will be from those who lie whenever they speak, and they go back on their promise, and they learn that trait from their parent. They learn that trait from their parent. So this issue here, the author, she is mentioning, حفظه الله تعالى, this is specific with this trait. But the benefit here is that this is the general understanding that the children, they learn from their parents. The children, they learn from their mother. The children, they learn from their father. And they watch in detail and listen closely to the conversations, particularly between the mother and the father, between the parents, and the way that they deal with each other. And they learn from that manner. And then you will see those same traits and those same manners being applied amongst them, brother and sister. If one parent is always raising their voice and yelling all the time, like in this manner, then likewise you will find that the child will learn that trait from the parent. If the one parent, like in this instant here, is lying or not being honest or making promises and going back on them without any excuse that is clear, then likewise the child learns that from the parent. If the parent is not having chastity and is not shy and bashful, if the mother would go blatantly speaking in public with men without any shyness whatsoever, then likewise the child would learn that. And so as well the man, the husband, likewise if the husband or the father, likewise he does not have any chastity and he speaks freely amongst women, smiling and laughing with them, then likewise the child will learn this foul and filthy trait from the parent. And this is from the worst aspects of foul tarbiyah, that it would have this effect on the child. But the right of the child is to be raised upon the sunnah. And the right that is incumbent by Allah Azza wa Jal upon the parent for the child is that they are cultivated and that they are raised and that they are taught the correct path, that they know al-usul al-thalatha, that they know who their Lord is, and they know what their religion is with clarity, and they know who their Prophet is, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they learn the manners and the etiquettes and the conduct of the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this happens, and this tarbiyah in one manner is by directly teaching them and narrating to them narrations and teaching them and going over books and learning with the children, and this is one aspect. But another aspect of tarbiyah, this is what the author, hafidhah Allah ta'ala, she is indicating here, that the children, they learn from the conduct of the parents. The children, they learn from the conduct and the manners and the dealings of the parents. So this is something that the parents, they have to realize and remember, that in their homes they are qudwa. In their homes, for their children, the mother, she's a qudwa. The mother especially, she's a qudwa. Likewise, the father, he's a qudwa. He's a qudwa. And we should be very careful. We should be very careful that we would not be qudwatun lishar wal khubth. That we would not be a qudwa, is a role model, an example that is followed. So we should be very careful that we would not lead a bad example or be a role model for evilness or foulness or indecent conduct and manners and speech. So this is something that the guardian has to keep in mind, and this is something that she is reminding the sisters particularly, and especially since this work is called Nasihati Linnisa. But it is also included that the father should also be aware of this issue. The parent, the guardian, whether it's male or female, they should be aware of this issue, that they are qudwa in their home, and they should strive to be a qudwa hasana. A qudwa hasana li awladihim. الرجل يجتهد أن يكون قدوة حسنة لزوجته ولأولاده وكذا تجتهد المرأة وتكون قدوة حسنة لزوجها أيضا يعني that she's also a good role model and good companion يعني for her husband and for her children, for her husband or for her children. They try to be good role models and good examples, and they benefit from one another, and they advise one another, and they cooperate with one another upon the haqq. يتواصون بالحق ويتواصون بالصبر يعني في البيت المسلم. in the Muslim home. So the author, she says, وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْكَذِبُ خُلُقًا ذَمِيمًا كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَسْتَنْكِفُونَ مِنْهُ. She says that since al-kadhib, lying, is this lowly trait and this unpraiseworthy manner, even the people of Jahiliyyah, they dislike it and stayed away from it, and they avoided it. Even the people in Jahiliyyah, they would avoid it. يَسْتَنْكِفُونَ مِنْهُ. They stay away from it and they avoid it and they dislike it. She says, فَأَبُو سُفْيَانْ كَانَ يَسْأَلُهُ حِرَقَلْ عَنْ مَنَاقِبَ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَكَانَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ يُجِيبُهُ بِالصِّدْقَ. She mentioned here the story of Abu Sufyan. And the print that I'm reading from, these words are connected together. Abu, there's two words. فَأَبُو and Sufyana. Sufyana. There should be a space between the waw and the scene. فَأَبُو سُفْيَانَ كَانَ يَسْأَلُهُ حِرَاقٌ عَنْ مَنَاقِبَ لِلنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And this is before he was a Muslim, Abu Sufyan. Before he was a Muslim, radiallahu anhu, he went to Haraqal. And he was asked about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and about the virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَكَانَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ يُجِيبُهُ بِالصِّدْقِ. And the Abu Sufyan, he used to respond and he would tell the truth. وَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَا أَن تُؤْثَرَ عَنِّي كَذْبَةٌ لَكَذَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ. He said that if it would not have been for the fact that I was afraid that it would be narrated from thee, that it would be mentioned about me that that I lied, that a lie would be ascribed to me, then I would have lied on him on that time. Whenever Abu Sufyan, he was asked about Haraqal. Whenever he was asked about Haraqal, Azim al-Rome, the leader of Rome. And he asked him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Abu Sufyan, he told him the truth, and he mentioned the truth because there were some of the companions of Abu Sufyan with him along at that time, and he was afraid that they would tell the people that he lied and that it would be known that he lied. So this is what carried him in the days of his ignorance, in the days of disbelief, to be truthful, that he disliked that it be mentioned about him that he's a liar. That he's a liar. So this is the point that she's trying to make here. So he says, she says, أي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان آنذاك لم يكن قد أسلم أبو سفيان رضي الله عنه. Meaning that he's afraid that it will be mentioned that he lied. And even lying about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was afraid that it will be mentioned and that he lied. So this trait is known. That it is a blameworthy trait, and it is a lowly trait, and no one wants to be ascribed to lying, and no one wants to be called a liar. Even somebody who is known for lying, he would not like that about himself. So she says that even in this time, وَكَانَ أَنَا ذَكَ لَمْ يُكُنْ قَدْ أَسْلَمَ, that he at this time was not even a Muslim, Abu Sufyan, رضي الله عنه. But what prohibited him from lying? The fact that he was afraid, and تُؤْثَرَ عَنْهُ كَذْبَ, that it would be narrated and mentioned and spread about him a lie, that he lied. Naam. So she says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ سُوَرِ الْكَذِبِ أَيْضًا مِزَاحُ النَّاسِ بِالْكَذِبِ. Also from the forms of lying, is the whenever people, they joke around and they're playing. They're joking around and playing, but they do that with lying. She says, قال الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا يحيى ابن سعيد قال حدثنا بهز بن حكيم قال حدثني أبي عن جدي قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ويل للذي يحدث بالحديث ليضحك به القوم ويل له ثم ويل له. قال الترمذي هذا حديث حسن. She mentioned the narration of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah with his chain to Bahz ibn Hakim and Abihi and Jaddihi, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ بِالْحَدِيثِ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمِ. وَيْل, كَلِمَةُ حَرَاكٍ وَتَعْذِيبٍ. وَيْل, كَلِمَةُ حَرَاكٍ وَتَعْذِيبٍ, يعني عذاب. Meaning that this is a statement that is mentioned, wail, it's a type of supplication, wail, wail for so-and-so, meaning may he be destroyed and may he be punished. May he be destroyed and may he be punished. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, may this person be destroyed and be punished. The one who narrates a narration, or he speaks, or he says a statement in order to make the people laugh. This narration here, the author, she has mentioned, it has missing. That is some word that is missing here. Very important word. the wording here that I'm reading from the book, the text that we have, the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ بِالْحَدِيثِ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمِ وَيْلٌ لَهُ ثُمَّ وَيْلٌ لَهُ. But the actual wording in the text, in the hadith, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ بِالْحَدِيثِ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمَ فَيَكْذِبُ. This part is missing. So those sisters, or those who are following along, they should add that here after the word al-qawma, وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ بِالْحَدِيثِ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمَ. After this word here, al-qawma, there's a word missing, فَيَكْذِبَ, and then he lies. فَيَكْذِبَ, he lies. And this is the point of the narration, that may the one be destroyed, the one who speaks or he says a statement to the people in order to make them laugh, and he lies. May he be destroyed, may he be destroyed. May he be destroyed, may he be destroyed. At-Tirmidhi, he mentioned that this hadith is hasan, that this hadith is hasan. Likewise, it has been narrated, the same narration in Sunan Abi Dawud, with a similar wording, وَيْلُ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ فَيَكْذِبُ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمَ وَيْلٌ لَهُ وَيْلٌ لَهُ. Nam, that may the one be destroyed, the one who speaks a statement, or he says a statement, and then he lies in order to make the people laugh. And then he lies in order to make the people laugh. وَيْلٌ لَهُ وَيْلٌ لَهُ. May he be destroyed, may he be destroyed. And he had وَيْلٌ and حَلَاكٌ عَظِيمٌ حَلَاكٌ عَظِيمٌ. So this is a supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that person. And this is an indication that there's a major sin. And many of the ulama, they have found great fault with an individual who has this trait. And they have considered this individual to be lowly, that he would settle for himself to tell a lie, and that he would be dishonest in his speech. And the only goal and the only reward he hopes from that lie is to make the people laugh. Yani, lying is blameworthy, no doubt, and it's not permissible. But sometimes people will lie in order to get a great gain in the dunya. And so this would cause them to lie. What would carry an individual to lie? Maybe he's about, if he lies, he will gain a lot of money. Or if he lies, he will get a portion of the dunya, or a status and rank. Or if he lies, he will save himself from harm. Or he'll save himself from some situation, losing some wealth, maybe. He lies. And this is the reason that could carry an individual to lie, and to fall into that great sin. But here, this person here, what carries him to lie? What is he hoping to obtain by lying? Just to simply make the people laugh. Make the people laugh. So he would be from those jokers. From those jokers that make the people laugh. And at the cost of that, he will commit a major sin. He'll commit a major sin. So many of the ulama, they found this trait to be blameworthy, rather very blameworthy. No doubt it's a major sin and it's blameworthy, but from this aspect, likewise, it's even more blameworthy that the person, he would commit this great sin, lying. And the only reason that carries him to do that, or that he hopes for, is just so that people will laugh at his statement, and that people will giggle at what he says. Ayyadhan billah. Naam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to rectify our manners and our character and our conduct, and to make us from those people who say the truth, even whenever they are joking, even whenever they are joking. Naam, so she says, قُلْتُ وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ وَأَخْرَجُهُ أَبُو دَوُودُ وَأَحْمَدُ وَالْحَاكِمُ. She mentioned that this narration is just as At-Tirmidhi has said, yani meaning that it's hasan. The hadith that is hasan is a hadith that is maqbool, it's a hadith that is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is a hadith that if it is considered hasan, it, with regards to believing in it and applying it, it is the same ruling as a hadith that is sahih. It must be believed in. It has been affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a chain that is good and reliable. So therefore, it must be believed in and applied. I mean, just like a hadith that is sahih, although in detail, the hadith that is sahih is stronger in its authenticity than the hasan. But with regards to application and believing in that narration and its ascription to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is established with a hadith that is sahih, and it is also established with a hadith that is hasan. نعم أي بنوعه. She says رحمه الله ومن صور الكذب أيضا ومن صوري الكذب أيضا. And from the forms of lying also قول القائل رأيت في المنام وهو لم يرى شيئا. The statement of an individual that he will say I saw something in a dream and he didn't say anything. يعني he didn't say anything. يعني meaning he didn't see what he said. And maybe somebody will have a dream and then they will narrate their dream but they'll lie. They'll say that they've seen such and such in a dream and so in a dream. But in reality, they did not see anything. Or they seen something contrary to what they narrated. They seen something contrary to what they narrated. They lied about something they saw in a dream. They say they see something in a dream and they did not see it. This likewise is from the forms of lying. She says, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا سفيان عن أيوب عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من تحلم بحلم لم يره كلف أن يعقد بين شعرتين ولن يفعل الحديثة. She mentioned the narration that is narrated by Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala with his chain to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma and the narration the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he said that whoever claims to have seen something in a dream that they did not see then he will be made to tie two strands of wheat together and he will never be able to do that. And he meant he'll be punished in this manner. Two strands of wheat, small pieces of wheat. He will be made to tie them together, and he will never be able to do that. He'll be punished in this manner, and be punished likewise until he's able to do that. He will never be able to tie two pieces of wheat strands together. Naam, this is for the one who claims that they see something. They did not see it, meaning in a dream. And here the author says at the end of this narration, Al-Hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, من تحلم بحلم لم يره كلف أن يقيد بين شعرتين ولن يفعل الحديث. Al-Hadith, here we can read it with a fatha, يعني منسوبا, ونقول الحديثة. والمعنى أي أكمل الحديث meaning to the end of the hadith, complete the hadith, meaning that this is an indication that there is a this narration is not completed, that there this is the portion of the narration and after this portion there is more wording to this same narration. So the meaning الحديثة أي أكمل الحديثة يعني complete the narration till the end of it. Also it could be read with the كسرة يعني مجرورا فتقول الحديث بمعنى إلى آخر الحديث. I mean, until the end of the hadith. Meaning, continue reading until the end of the hadith. So, whenever the ulama and the authors they mention like this al hadith at the end of this indication that there is the rest of the narration remaining to be read or to be understood or to be studied. Likewise, they might say also al-ayah, if it's an ayah from the Book of Allah, al-ayata, or al-ayati, with the same understanding. So this hadith, it continues. And the continuation of the hadith, وَمَنْ اسْتَمَعَ إِلَى حَدِيثِ قَوْمٍ وَهُمْ لَهُ كَارِهُونَ سُبَّ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ الْآنَاكُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And also, and this is the first portion of this narration, that whoever sees a dream or claims they see in a dream that they did not see until the end of that portion that which we have seen, they will be held accountable and made to tie between two pieces of sha'ir, and they will never be able to do that. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever listens to the statements of a people and they dislike for him to listen, and this could be in two ways. And sometimes somebody will know that they're listening, but they don't want them to listen. And they know they're listening, but they dislike the fact that they're listening to their conversation. This is included here. Also, sometimes maybe they're not aware that that person is listening on them. But if they knew that, that he was listening, they would dislike that. So there are two people talking. Whether they know that someone is listening or they do not know that, but they dislike to have another listen to their conversation, then the punishment for this person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Subba fi udhunayhi al-anaku ayla al-rasas, al-rasas yom al-qiyamah," that hot lead will be poured in their ears on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection, the one who listens to the statements of others and it's dislike for them to, they do not want him to listen or her to listen, and they dislike the fact that someone would listen to their statement, then their punishment is that the hot lead will be poured in their ears on the day of resurrection. Al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jinsi al-amal. And then the narration continues, likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَنْ صَوَّرَ سُورَةً عُذِّبَ وَكُلِّفَ أَنْ يَنْفُخَ فِيهَا الرُّوحَ وَلَيْسَ بِنَافِخٍ. And whoever takes a picture, then he will be punished. And he will be made to blow the soul into that speech, until that picture, and he will never be able to do that. And he'll be punished until he's able to do that. And he will never be able to do that. Meaning he will continue to be punished for making the picture. So this is the issue of picture making and taking pictures. It's not something that is light. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man sawwara suratan udhib." Udhib. He's punished. He'll be punished. The one who makes the picture, the picture makers, he'll be punished. Even in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna shadda nasi عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ," that those people who have the most severe punishment on the day of resurrection are the picture takers or the picture makers. Now, so this is the narration that the author, she has mentioned in it, with its whole wording. Then she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ وَقَالَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ, and you're mentioning Al-Bukhari. حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ مُسْلِمٍ قال حدثنا عبد الصمد قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن ابن عبد الله ابن دينار مولى ابن عمر عن أبيه عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن من أفرى الفرى أن يري عينيه ما لم ترى. She mentioned again another narration with from Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, this time with his chain to Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna min afra al-fira," from yani min a'zam al-kadhabat, yani from the greatest lies, from the greatest lies, and yuriya aynayhi ma lam tara, that he would claim that his eyes saw something he did not see. And he would ascribe something to his eyes that did not happen. And he would say, "I seen this," or "I saw that," "I saw this," or "I seen this," "I seen that." And he did not see it. And he did not see it. This is from the greatest lies. This is from the greatest lies, fabrication of lies in this manner, that a person will claim that they saw something they did not see, that they did not see. Now, that he would يخبر عن عينيه بالرؤية وهو كاذب وهو كاذب فيها. So she says, فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَسْدُقَ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَمَعَ النَّاسِ. So she says now, closing the chapter and giving advice again to her sisters and to those who read this work. May Allah reward her. فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا, and it's an obligation upon all of us, أَن نَسْدُقَ مَعَ اللَّهِ, that we be truthful with Allah. وَمَعَ النَّاسِ, also with the people. فَتَحَرِّي أَسِدْقَ تِلْوَ مَرَّةً. So she says, "My sister, you must pursue and strive to be truthful and honest time after time. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ يَسِيرُ صِدْقُ خُلُقًا لَكِ. And then if you do this, then that manner of honesty and truthfulness will become a manner for you and a conduct for you. It will become your manners, خُلُق. You will be honest and truthful. The one who strives to be truthful and works to be truthful and pursues truth in every circumstance, and they do not lie, and they do not lie, and when the opportunity comes to lie and their soul calls them to lie, or shaitan whispers them to them to lie, they fight their soul and they turn away from shaitan and they remember Allah and they tell the truth, and they tell the truth. من فعل ذلك يسير الصدق عنده خلقا له. بإذن الله, that whoever does this, then that manner of truthfulness will become his conduct and his code, and it will become his conduct and his manners. It will become their conduct and their manners. كما في حديث ابن مسعود المتقدم. This is what has been preceded. This is what has preceded in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, that whoever يعني من تحرى الصدقة, نعم, ولا يزال العبد يصدق ويتحرى الصدقة حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا, حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. So she says now, likewise, حفظها الله, والصادق يثق به الناس في كلامه وفي معاملاته ويرفع صاحبه عند الناس وعند الخالق. So the one who is truthful, والصادق يثق به الناس في كلامه وفي معاملاته ويرفع صاحبه عند الناس وعند الخالق. نعم, والله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. So she says, a صادق, the one who is truthful, the people that trust him, the people trust him whenever he speaks, and likewise they trust him in his dealings, and he is raised with the people. He will be raised, the one who is truthful will have a high status with the people, and also he will be raised and have a high status with Al-Khaliq, with the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the meaning of which is, oh, you who believe, fear Allah. Ittaqullah. And you fear Allah by believing in Him and by obeying Him and complying to His commandments, hoping for His reward, and staying away from His punishments, staying away from His prohibitions, fearing His punishment. Ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and be with the truthful. And be truthful yourself and be amongst the truthful. Naam. She closes this chapter with some lines of poetry, and they read, الصدق حلو وهو المر والصدق لا يتركه الحر جوهرة الصدق لها زينة يحسدها الياقوت والدر يحسدها الياقوت والدر. Naam, the author, she mentioned these lines of poetry, the meaning of which is, الصدق حلو وهو المر, that truthfulness and honesty, it is sweet, but it is bitter. It is sweet, but it is bitter. But it is bitter. At the same time, the outcome is sweet. Naam? And the one who says it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will taste the sweetness of that faith, the sweetness of that truthfulness and honesty. Now, but sometimes it may be bitter to be firm and to be steadfast upon truthfulness. الصدق حلو وهو المر. Nam, that truthfulness is sweet, but it is al-murru, the bitter one. وَالصِّدْقُ لَا يَتْرُكُهُ الْحُرُّ, and the honesty and truthfulness, الْحُرُّ لَا يَتْرُكُهُ أَبَدًا. الْحُرُّ يعني الكريم الشريف الفاضل, يعني the one who is virtuous and the one who is noble and the one who is known for upright and good manners and conduct and known for piety, he will never leave this. He will never leave honesty and truthfulness. He will never leave us. وَالصِّدْقُ لَا يَتْرُكُهُ الْحُرُّ. الْحُرُّ يعني الكريم الشريف الفاضل. نعم. Now he says the poet, جوهرتُ الصِّدْقِ لَهَا زِينَةً, and the essence of truthfulness and honesty, it has a beauty and an adornment. يَحْسُدُهَا الْيَقُوتُ وَالْدُرُّ, and the rubies and the pearls, they are jealous of it, يعني because of how beauty, the beauty and the adornment of truthfulness. يعني this is beautiful lines of poetry to clarify the status of الصدق and being truthful and being honest. And if this is that high status and rank, then that which is contrary to that, likewise, is on the other end, lowly and filthy and a despicable trait, and that is lying and being dishonest. We close with that, inshallah. In our next class, the author, she begins another portion or mentioning another aspect from the aspects of afat al-lisan wa huwa ifsha'u asir, and this is to spread secrets. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.